do my very best at explaining it. There I am again, right? You alone, this is on your sheet, this is important, you need to know this. You alone are responsible for your own passion for God. Only you are responsible for your own spiritual passion. Other people can encourage you and other people can help you, but nobody can do it for you. If your passion level for God is diminished, you alone can solve that. And it's easy to do, and I'm going to tell you how to do it really quickly. They did a study, an extensive study, and this is a mega church in the United States, a really good church. They did an extensive study of their members, kind of, you know, a survey type thing, to see how they were doing. And they found out, they were shocked, they found out that that there was a good number of people in their church who were dissatisfied with their, you know, with the church, and they were even thinking about leaving. And really what it was is they were actually dissatisfied with their own walk with God, with their own passion level. And they found that it was actually mostly the more mature ones who were feeling that way rather than the new Christians. And what they discovered was this, when a person gets saved, they have all these programs where they plug them in and they train them and they disciple them, right? And they get them to a certain point, and the person's supposed to be able to fly on their own, right? But what they failed to do, they realized this in this survey, and they're just looking to fix it, you know. What they failed to do was to teach people that their passion for God was their own responsibility. Because they had become dependent upon the church doing it for them. Why don't you have a program or a class for me now that stir my passion up for God? And the reality is, that's not the responsibility of the church or anybody else. You're responsible for your spiritual passion. And they had realized that they had, you know, had these classes for them, but, you know, they got them dependent upon the classes. They got them dependent upon the programs and the activities. And they hadn't taught them. They hadn't just told them right out, like, you're responsible for your own spiritual growth. If you're not growing, that's your fault. If you're not fiery, passionate for God, that's your problem. No, I'll help you. I'll do what I can to help you. I'll encourage you. But you're responsible for your own spiritual passion. You'll stand before God alone. And so will I. Does that make sense? That's not a harsh attitude. Because I want to help you. I want to do whatever I can. But to help you, I got to tell you this. You're responsible. I'm trying to help you. I mean, if I could do it for you, maybe I would. I don't know. But many times what we do is I see this all the time when I talk to people, Christians. They go to church, they're like, oh yeah, my church is, man, I'm just not getting fed at my church, you know. I'm just not getting fed. I'm like, whose responsibility is that? To make sure that you get fed. It's not your pastor's responsibility to feed you. You have a Bible you can read? Come on, right? Oh, he's just not doing it for me. He's just teaching shallow stuff, and we need to go deeper. I'm like, well, then go deeper. What's stopping you? I can tell you what's stopping you. What's stopping you is that you're being lazy spiritually, and instead of taking responsibility for it and getting into the Word yourself and encountering God, it's easier just to cast blame on your pastor or somebody else. But one thing you'll find out about God, while He is compassionate, He is brutally honest. And when you stand before Him, you say, God, man, I had so much potential. If you would have planted me in a church that had a deeper pastor, a more anointed whoever, man, like I could have done so much for you. And the Lord's going to be like, you know what? You had access to the same Bible your pastor did. Right? I love this. I was watching an interview with Bill Johnson, who's a pastor, an awesome man of God. And he was being interviewed by this guy who was a Christian, but kind of, it was kind of funny. And the interviewer asked him a question. It was on this TV show. And the interviewer asked him, he says, what would you say to somebody who's struggling in their passion for God? You know, somebody, they just, the passion's just not there like it used to be. And he's kind of leading into like, oh, poor baby. Like to this poor little victim who used to be so fiery, but now their passion is diminished. What would you say to kind of encourage them and to help them? You know, it was kind of that kind of question. That's what he was leading into for that kind of response. Like, oh, you poor thing. Well, we all have times where we're not passionate, and you know, just hang on until you know, he's expecting some like pathetic response like that. And he asks, what would you say to them? And Bill Johnson goes, repent. I was like, yeah! I was like, that is so good. That is so really inspiring. And he was like, repent. He says, you alone are responsible for your own passion. Nobody can do it for you. Everybody in this room can be the most passionate, fiery, loving God with emotion, with devotion, and with understanding of anybody in the world. Everybody in this room, we all have the same access in Christ to the throne of God. You want to know how to acquire passion? Passion comes from experiencing God. You cannot create and work up spiritual passion in and of yourself, yet you're responsible to be passionate. But you can't work it up or stir it up or create it. Only God can ignite you with passion, yet he holds you responsible. How does that work? Because you cannot create spiritual passion, but you can position yourself to receive it through encountering God, because that's how you get it. You acquire passion for God by experiencing him. And he's given an open, standing invitation to everybody on the planet Earth that through my son, that's what he says, through Jesus, you have access to the throne. You can come before me anytime you wish. And when you do, you see him. And when you see him, you're undone. Because you find out that he's good. You find out that he's holy. You find out that his majesty, he's over all. You find out that he's kinder than you even have ever met anybody before. And when you realize how he feels toward you, and when you see how he's watched over you, even when you were not, when you were rejecting him, when you see his goodness, all of a sudden you're undone and you're overwhelmed. And you say, God, I love you. I love you. Why have I been pushing you off all this time? I didn't know you were this way. And what's just happened is when you encounter him, when you experience him, you can't help but love him. And you can't help but fear him. You're responsible for your passion. How do you get it? Put yourself in front of him and experience him. Position yourself to encounter him. You know, Autumn and I, we regularly, we're just, you know, this is our, we're junkies. I mean, we are like God junkies. We're addicted. We do crazy things like drive 30 hours one way to Florida. Because we heard God's moving there in a special way. We heard about it. We watched it for the first time. We looked at each other and we said, we're going. We have the money and savings, don't we? Yeah, we do. Okay, that's fine. Load up the kids and go. Why? Because I know that I am responsible for keep my passion burning. And I am responsible to put myself, to position myself where he's moving. Do I have to read my Bible? Do I have to pray? Do I have to worship God? It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. Because it's through activities like this that I'm setting, I'm positioning myself in front of him. Here I am again. Thanks for this invitation to your throne. I'm just going to hang out here. Is that all right with you? Lord, I know you're there. Open my eyes so I can see you. Because even though you're amazingly visible to my natural eye right now, you're invisible. But God, just open my eyes to see you, the eyes of my heart. Let me feel you again. How was it that you, if you tell me about one of those thoughts that you have about me that says, Bible talks about how he has many thoughts towards you, good thoughts. So many, it's like as many as the sand, grains of sand on the seashore. You ever tried to count them? Okay, it's like an impossible assignment. And yet he says, look at them, because if you were able to count them, that's how many good thoughts I have about you that are just percolating in my mind and heart continually about you. And when you come before him, he'll put those thoughts, he'll share them with you. And it will just ruin you. I mean, it does. You're just lost after that. You're like, I'm putting in your hands. I'm putting in your hands. What do you want? You feel that. What? Me? It's like, oh yeah. Here's how intimacy works. Or the mechanics of intimacy. Oh, let me give you this. And I got to finish up here. I'm going to finish in 5 minutes. If you will, this is absolutely true. Absolute truth. I stand on it like so confidently. And this is massively important to keep your passion burning. Okay? You need to know this and remember it forever for the rest of your life. Are you ready? If you will do right things consistently, right feelings and results will always follow. God, I want to feel emotional love for you. I don't feel it right now. I know when I can tell that my passion level is kind of waning, usually because of neglect of my heart. I've not tended the garden of my heart very well and positioned myself like I should have before God. And so my passion level starts waning. I know instantly how to get fixed. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. All I got to do is put myself in front of him consistently. And the emotions will take care of themselves. Right? You ever felt that before? You're like, man, I know my passion level is not where it needs to be. I was at a 10, and right now I'm at a 7. Or right now I'm at a 3, and this is not acceptable. I got to do something about it. You guys with me? What do I do? Put yourself in front of him. Let him experience him all over again. How do I put myself in front of him? Because if you will do right things, I'm going to give you right things. And I'm not an exhaustive list, but just enough to get you going. If you will do right things consistently, that's the key. If you will keep yourself in position in front of him consistently, the flame of God will catch you on fire as well. Our God is a consuming fire, right? Get near that flame and it will catch you. It will light you up. And the same fiery emotion he feels for you will catch you on fire, and you'll feel fiery emotion back for him. Same love that he has for others, it'll catch you and you'll love others too. Just get near him. I'm telling you, he is dangerous. Dangerously good. Amen.
There goes my hot tamales.
In California, they actually have classes. Well, they can take you surfing, teach you how to surf. How many of you have ever surfed or bodyboarded before? Anybody done that? Only two people? See, this is what's wrong with South Dakota, is we don't have any beaches. That's okay, though. I know, that's the... Man. Anyway. So they'll teach you how to, you know, pick the right equipment, how to use it properly, how to get up on the board, all this stuff. They'll teach you everything. What they can't do, though, is they can't teach you how to build a wave. Right? Surfing is the art of riding waves that God builds. And to be a good surfer, you need to learn how to put yourself in, to position yourself where the wave is breaking so that you can ride it. You guys with me? It's the same way with God. You cannot create spiritual passion. You can't make yourself have an encounter with God. It's Him that does it. But He's committed. I mean, He is so willing. If you'll put yourself in front of Him and just wait there, I'm telling you, the encounter will come. Sometimes it's a dramatic experience, like, dramatic experience. And sometimes it's just the subtle where He puts His thoughts in your thoughts, in your mind. Or it's just that, that's a good truth in the Word, God. And don't minimize those encounters. Those are legitimate, powerful encounters that putting yourself in the Word and before Him consistently, they add up. They change the way you think. They change the way you see and live life. So you're living it from His perspective, right? Maybe it changes everything. It's powerful. Okay. Now I got 2 minutes. I'm just going to give you these. I think you got it. The mechanics of intimacy. There's 9 things I have there. There's way more than 9 probably, but this is like random off the top of my head. Ready? How do you position yourself before God to experience Him so that your passion ignites? Read the Word of God is the first one. The Word of God. Just put the Word of God into, that's how you feed your spirit, is you put the Word of God into yourself. Okay? Just read it, listen to it, whatever, you know. Prayer. Prayer is simply talking with God, not just to God. It's listening and talking. Okay? It's conversation. It's dialogue with God. Sometimes the most awesome prayer I love is just to sit there and He's not saying anything, but He just lets me feel His presence. That's prayer. It'll change your life. I mean, I'm serious. Okay, 3, the mechanics of intimacy. I call it the mechanics because there is a mechanical part to it where you just do certain things to position yourself and the feelings and the fruit will take care of itself. Okay, He'll cause that to happen. He'll send the wave. 3 is obedience. Giving, forgiving, ministering Jesus to others. Actually, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to stop. And I'll just continue next week. So, we'll just do that. Well, I'll finish the 9. You guys want the 9. I know how it is. Like, after what I'm done, seriously, after I'm done, it's like people hate unfilled blanks. Yeah. It just really irks people, isn't it? All right, I won't irk you. I made it my goal. I was going to be done in 40 minutes, so it's your fault now. See, the problem is I wanted to talk about each of these 9 things, but now I just have to go. I'll just give them to you, and maybe I'll talk about them later. Obedience, fasting is 4. Obedience is 3. Godly fellowship is 5. This is how to position yourself to encounter God. You obey, you're positioning yourself to have an encounter with God. You're going to experience God through obedience. Right? It's really true. I mean, I love one of the things He says to do. He says, go out. I want you to pray for the sick. I want you to minister to people. So I make it my goal. At least once a week, I'm going to pray for someone in public. You know what? It actually enhances intimacy between me and God. Because I pray for people, and then He shows up, and I'm like, oh, you're so good. You're so good. You're here. You showed up. It works. And I'm experiencing Him as my partner. It's good. It's all good. It's all about intimacy. Everything is about intimacy. Every command He gives you is for the purpose of bringing you into a greater revelation of Himself, to be more intimate with Him. Everything. It's good. Godly fellowship is 5. 6, reading and hearing good teaching on the Word of God. I mean, I just probably every week I listen to sermons. I watch them on DVD. I mean, I just pump the Word of God into me. It's good, right? It's like healthy steroids for your spirit. Anyway. Okay, this may seem weird to some of you, but this is profound and it's very important. Is resting your mind and enjoying God. Some of the most profound encounters I've had recently is when I wasn't trying to do anything. So for me, what I like to do is like going on a walk, especially on a day like this. I just go for a walk, and I just look around, and I don't have to think about anything. I'm just enjoying everything. Just walk around, and my mind is relaxed. And what happens is your heart, the Spirit of God lives in your heart. And if you'll get quiet long enough, if you'll quiet your mind long enough, you'll start hearing this, at least I start hearing songs of worship flowing from my heart. And then I come into agreement with those songs. It's the Spirit of God inside of me. I don't know if that makes sense. A lot of times if I'll just get quiet long enough, still my mind, I can feel love start starting to stir, and I feel, I love you. I love you. And then I just come into agreement with it. I just say, oh, I do. I love you. I love you. And then it's just amazing. You're just encountering God. It's good. So taking a walk, resting. I mean, one of the most spiritual things I can do sometimes is take a power nap. I'm serious. Like sometimes I'll feel stressed and I'll say, I'm just going to take a power nap. I'm tired. I'll take a 15-minute power nap, and it's like I encounter the Lord in my sleep. I just wake up with peace and with joy in hearing God clearly. It's good to do. Sometimes our minds get so busy, you know what I mean? Yeah. That it's important to take, and that's okay because there's times when, you know, that's what they're for, right? We have to use them. But we need to make sure to keep our passion level burning. We need to have times where we rest. And for me, there are certain kinds of rest that lead to intimacy, and there's other kinds of rest that don't, right? And you have to get a feel for what works for you and what doesn't work for you. But for me, like any kind of physical activity, I'm exercising, I'm working out, I'm running, I'm playing, I'm doing something, but it's restful to me. It's rejuvenating to me, and it just helps me to hear God better. Amen? It rests my mind. Usually it's mental for me, but anyway, yeah. Jogging, fishing, getting away, etc. I just love it all. It's good. And number 8 is like Christian seminars, retreats, and conferences. I highly recommend that. We have people here that go regularly. Usually every couple months, someone's going somewhere and to a conference or retreat. We have seminars here at the church probably every month or two. And you know why we have those? This is right here. Number 9, godly music. This is one of my favorite ways to encounter the Lord, is I just like to put on the worship music, put on the CD. My favorite thing is to go on a walk with my iPod and have a worship song, whichever one's touching my heart that day. And I turn the volume up really loud, so even though I have earphones, probably somebody could hear it next to me, because I like it loud. And I'm just walking, and so many times I'll be walking on the street, and I just realize, like, people probably think I'm crazy. Because I'll be walking like this because my heart is so full, I'm about to pop if I don't express it. Or I'm singing with it. And you know how it is when you sing with headphones and loud music, but nobody else hears the music. They just hear your horrible voice, right? Just, or beautiful voice, whichever is the case. But it's all beautiful to Him. Or I'll be walking around just going like, yeah, jamming. It's because I'm happy. And then I try to calm myself down in case people are looking. But it's all good. It's all good. Why? It's feeding my spirit. Amen. So it's the mechanics of intimacy. You're responsible for your spiritual passion. And how you acquire passion is to experience God. You put yourself in front of Him. There's other ways than this. This is just a few. Put yourself in front of Him consistently. I mean, every day. Every day you need to do something to connect with God. And then stay connected throughout the day. We're to live connected with God. You know what the house of prayer means? And I'm finishing up with this, and then we'll pray and I'll release you. But we're early, actually. We're doing really good. It's just my personal goal to be done quicker in 40 minutes. So I was saying something. Oh, yeah, we talk about God build the house of prayer. right? In Huron. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, you know, the house of prayer is a people, a group of people who live connected to heaven at all. The house of prayer is not a physical location, and it's not prayer meetings. Although that's all good. We do that. And more the better, right? But he says the house of prayer is the people of God in a given area. Like the house of prayer in the city of Huron, let's say, is when the people of God learn how to live connected, communing with the Holy Spirit at all times. And we live under an open heaven. We live where we're... That's how Jesus lived. That's why he would always hear what the Father was saying and saw what he was doing. And as he went through life, he was able to act in agreement and release heaven into earth through the words he spoke and the things he did. Amen? And that's how we're called to do the exact same thing. What does it mean? Living connected all the time. That's the house of prayer. Amen. Okay, everybody put your hand on your heart.